We need to do a couple things. I really want Mr. Kevin to start streaming this because it'll make his job much easier. But secondly, somebody needs to just take a few notes to put on the website. The Bible studies have gotten on the website have become meaningless because it's just a bunch of days listed. And it for a long time, what's his name?
Michael.
Somebody that was listening to Morning Bible Studies, he did it for about 2 or 3 years. I mean, 2 or 3 years worth, I think it seemed like. Anyway, he just made a few notes, maybe 1 or 2 sentences, that said which scriptures were studied, and just a couple of words, a few words. And that then plus the streaming would be able to make it useful. But there's a lot of people, we have a responsibility to a lot of people who listen.
I was doing that, those notes, and I gave them to Michael Carlson, but then he wasn't posting them, so I quit. But I'll just do that again.
Well, and whoever is dealing with Michael, they've got to be posted. And we've got to catch up. So, because otherwise there's no sense in doing this.
Yeah, some people emailed me too.
I mean, I've gotten a jillion calls.
I'll do the notes, but I don't know what to do with them.
And the purpose of the notes is so I can say, well, I'm going to listen to things when you mention Hebrews.
No, the purpose of the notes is just so that they have something other than a page of dates that have, so they can look and say, oh, there's Pentecost or there's whatever it is. So now it's not there's nothing to discriminate. It's just, you know, pages and pages of blank dates.
Yeah, if you've been keeping up with them, it probably doesn't matter. But if you're just now logging on, you just see dates, and you know you're not going to be able to listen to all those. You got to start somewhere.
And if we have anybody that needs community service work or anything to catch up on and making notes about the dates that are blank. But I just looked at that for the first time a couple of days ago. And because I was getting these emails and telephone calls. So we've got to make it usable somehow. And that's everybody loved it when. Who was it? Who was it that was doing the? I think it was Mario that was doing the.
He was listening to him.
And then doing the notes.
Well, giving them to Michael. I don't think he was doing them himself, was he?
No, he was giving them to Michael, and Michael would post them.
Yeah.
That's where most of the notes that are on there are from. So. But somebody has to have this. Somebody has to be on top of this. And I thought it was Michael. To the organization of it. If you can just, I don't even know what streaming means, but whatever it is to make it easier. From the standpoint of you doing this, whatever you do. It's got to be done right, or there's no sense in doing it. And especially now, I mean, we've got the crew from Faith Mobile will be here next Monday, a week from today, and they want to integrate this somewhere into, or parts of it into their system. So, what? You get something's going on.
So there's got to be some graphics involved besides just a date and some words. There's got to be something that makes
or will they provide?
Oh, that, no, no. It's just as long as it, you can make sense out of it by looking at it. But now when you look at the website, it's just a list of dates for the last however long it's been since we stopped putting that other stuff up there. Anybody have any response? I mean,
I was a little over 2 months behind, so I just posted them all. So nobody's had a chance to listen to them and make notes.
Yeah, but the notes should have been, I thought the notes were already made. Somebody, I thought.
Michael's usually, when we post them, he listens to it at some point.
No, he wasn't doing he wasn't making the notes. It was somebody else. I think it was Mario. But some, yeah.
He was. How long did you do it, Mike?
About half a year or something.
But somebody needs to say that, yeah, I'm gonna make sure this is done. Not that you have to do anything, but you have to look at it. I thought Michael was doing that. But all right, let's go to Mark, chapter 7.
What was it again? I'm sorry.
Mark, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Verse 14. We're talking about what it is that happened on Pentecost. We think of Pentecost as being, you know, it's celebrated all over the place and it's the birth of the church, but it's so much more that happened on Pentecost. It's and we're going to see in a minute that it's something that organically changed the human race. And this is the reason why. In verse 14, these are the red words. I'm running it in here. And when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, "Hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There is nothing from without a man, or from outside a person, that entering into him can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear." Now, we've spent our lifetime, especially if you're a parent, trying to protect the child. Trying to order and change and manipulate and filter the stuff that goes into the child. And you've all learned how to live by comparison. You compare yourself with some others, and you compare yourself with yourself. And you slowly make changes, or try to make changes, and everything that your parents and the whole system, the school system, the societal system taught was to protect the child or the individual from that which is coming from without. You understand that, everybody, by that? When he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples, and he never explained this to the people, he just spoke it. And then the disciples came in, and he said, and his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he said to them, "Are you so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him, because it entereth not into his heart, but into his belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats. And that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man." And the reason is that's the fruit of the fall. The problem with modern theology is that they ignore, for the most part, the fall. They say the fall is somehow obliterated, but yet then they have to protect everything. We've got to keep homosexuals from getting married. We've got to have the right kind of government. We got to, you know, whatever it is. There's nothing from without that can defile. But everything that defiles is already there. This isn't societal. This isn't cultural. This isn't educational. This is organic. It's organic to the human race. That which defiles is from within. Now some of you have done a very good job of learning the rules and playing the game and getting it right, and so you can act like there's nothing of those things there. And so you can even act like you're doing pretty good. And you're doing reasonably well, and everything is going pretty fair. But Jesus comes along and says, no, because if you even think about it, you've already done the evil. You can't understand Pentecost until you understand the extent of the corruption. You can't understand yourself until you understand the extent of the corruption, because you will convince yourself, because you compare yourself with others and other things and other situations and other rule systems, and then you compare yourself with yourself, and slowly but surely you can reach a point where you can live with yourself. If you can hear that there is nothing from without that can defile, there's nothing from without that can make you mad, there's nothing from without that can upset your peace, there's nothing from without that can do anything that can make you nervous, there's nothing from without that can make you judge. Do you really see this? There's no situation with city inspectors. There's no situation with attorneys. There's no situation with anything that can affect you, the real you. Now let's go and see what Paul said about this in a different way in Romans. This was Jesus' words. This isn't the gospel of Paul versus the gospel of Jesus. I'm just kidding.
There's something about this. The defiling is there. You know, it says that it's not. It acts like it's, you're not defiled unless it comes out. But you're already defiled, like just because of thinking.
Well, it's there. You're defiled whether you know whether you think of it or not. Yeah. All right, go to Romans. Now, you know that this guy came up and said, call Jesus good, and Jesus said, call no man good. And so that sort of does something with our definition of good. Have you been a good little boy? Yes, I've been a good little boy, because you got the act right. But that's not what God calls good. The act cannot be the thing that's called good. There's only one thing that's called good, and that's the Father. You understand that? So, and that's a predicate for this, because he said,
where?
Huh?
Where in Romans?
Romans chapter 2, verse 10. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. For as many as have sinned without law shall perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are right or just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts. Now, this great word, it's when it says by nature, in verse 14, for when Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law. The by nature is the word that means flows from germination. It's the seed germinated and produced itself. That's why if you had the faith of a grain of mustard seed, it has nothing to do with the size of the mustard seed. It has to do with the idea that the mustard seed knows it's a mustard seed. So the mustard seed germinates a mustard plant. The seed of Adam, the seed, or the sperma of man, cannot produce anything but that which is by nature evil, corrupt, fallen. So now when it says, when the Gentiles do by nature, or fulfill by nature the law, how could that be? How could the Gentiles fulfill by nature the law except that the seed or the Spirit of God was shed on all flesh in the same way it was shed on Mary, but now it's more than that because Jesus was the first of this new seed, this new sperma, and when he fulfilled it, it became a new creation, and on Pentecost, that new creation was shed on all flesh, if you believe what Peter said, or if you believe what Joel said would happen. So now when the Gentiles do by nature, by germination, the things that are in the law, then they have fulfilled the law. The only one that is done by nature, the things that are in the law, is Jesus Christ. Therefore, by definition, by extension, all that God requires of us is what?
Rest, ease, wait.
Abandonment. But if this process happened, and then you continue to try to use the forbidden to get to the end. In other words, you try to use that which from the heart, the evil, to assist. I'm sorry. Let's go to Colossians. Chapter 1, verse 4, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world and bringeth forth fruit. Same thing, go over to verse 20. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven. Does that, do you really understand that the gospel was preached to every creature under heaven? We just, if you don't, then how could Paul say the Gentiles, which do by nature the law, can be justified? In other words, your mental assent was necessary only to the point in which what? In which you saw your own hopelessness. But if you ever leave the place of seeing your own hopelessness, then what? You've gone back to revert to the place of using that which is blessed to gain that, I mean, that which is cursed to gain that which is blessed. This is what happened. This is why Pentecost is so important. It organically changed the human race. This is why the Great Commission, go you into all the world, is in the aorist tense. It says, as you go into the world, if you believe, you'll speak. I mean, I'm not denigrating anybody, missionaries or anything. That's what they felt that they should do, and God will use it. But I am denigrating you having a plan to do anything. Because you, by the definition, the plan to do it has to originate from that which is not redeemable. And you're trying to add it onto that which is finished, complete, perfect, good. And so that's why this whole idea, you have to see that the fullness of what happened on Pentecost organically changed the game. It you cannot use anymore your sweet thoughts. You cannot use anymore your own understanding. You cannot. It has to be total, complete abandonment of self. What? It's because you got something distracted you.
I got distracted.
Talk a little bit about doing things contained in the law. That's what I'm missing that part.
The only way you can...
The
Gentiles doing the things? Let's go back to Romans.
By nature, they do the things that are contained in the law.
The thing that contained in the law is Jesus Christ. They do Jesus.
Because I guess when I read that, I was thinking...
Behavior.
When it benefits me to do the law, I'll do the law.
No, I think it's far more...
It is by nature.
Yeah, but the nature, we're talking about a differentiation of natures. The nature of the human, the nature of the... We need to spend some time talking about the difference between the mind and the brain, I think. Yeah. What?
Well, the way I think Kevin is reading, and all of us other than you until this morning would read by nature, but who by human nature do this. And that's not what it's saying. It's saying by the efficacy of the sperm of Christ, this is what is done.
You know, the predicate of everything is when Jesus said, except the kernel of wheat or the grain fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. Everybody understand? It's John 12. I mean, it's said we've studied it 1,000 times. And all of the stuff in Corinthians where the seed, the thing that the seed produces doesn't look like the seed. Right? So we don't have a base of reference to see what the thing that is taking place in us looks like. And that makes us very easily, it's why the test is so subtle. Because we always have, we've spent a lifetime comparing ourselves with others and other situations and other laws and other standards and other ideas and other agendas, and comparing it, and then comparing ourselves with ourselves, so we can't even come to the. This is why it says you got to hear what he said. In the perfect personality, the description of Jesus Christ, the only place in the Scriptures. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? And the arm of the Lord is the Zeruah, the seed of the Lord, the strength of the Lord, the persona, the essence of the Lord. To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant. That is a root out of dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness. There is no beauty that when we see him, we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of all men, including you and I. So there is no form. That's why without faith, it's impossible to please God. Every time you put form to anything, then you've gone backwards. I wished I had better words.
I remember what I thought a minute ago was something you'd said about the difference by nature is essentially we turn Jesus into a golem. We hear this stuff and then we like it. The best we can do is recreate God and try to make him into our image.
Well, remember,
rather than wait for him.
Right. We have to do something, and therefore every generation tries to copy the last generation, or they try to copy something else that's going on with somebody else in that same system. Or they are affected by it because they reject it. Whether you reject it or accept it, that's what you're comparing yourself against. You got it. There is no comparison. How can I describe? The only thing I can describe is my own experience. I had absolutely no idea that what would happen after I became a believer. I certainly had no idea that anyone would ever pay any attention to what I said. I had. You know, all I knew is I the first thing I did was try to go to the only form that I knew, which was the established church. And the only thing, the manifest thing, the hugest thing that I took away from the conversion experience was that I could never again help myself, no matter what happened. Now, I ignored that a few times, and then I got, you know, I said, no, wait a minute, I can't do that. But that is the one fundamental thing, and it's you cannot help yourself. As a body, we cannot help ourselves. It's a huge deal. And then the test is love. But love not, I really, you know, oh, I love Harry so much. The only question is, do I lay my life down for Harry? That's what love is. Do I prefer his interest over my own? It has nothing to do with an emotion. It has to do with, you know, I don't even like most people. That's not the important. But I think that love is the fruit. There's nothing I wouldn't do for somebody, whether it's, and it has nothing to do with me. And it has nothing to do with them, really.
Now you're talking about the nature of God because of that seed.
Right, but the seed isn't... The seed... You know, we hear now there's crap about, oh, the fruit of the Spirit is how many converts you had. Well, then Jesus must have been a total failure. Because he had 5,000, And then he said that you must eat his flesh, and then 4,988 left, and then he had 12, and then they crucified him, and they all left. You gotta hear this, guys. The world was turned upside down, not because they did anything. It was turned upside down as because they did nothing. We've got it backwards. What? Kevin keeps looking. He was first. He looked at Gary, and then he looked at Wade.
I'm still stuck on this thing.
On nature? Go look the word up.
In the law. Well, I keep reading down, and it talks about them. Well, it's one of those things that there's the, you know, the keeping the law, and then there's the...
Then there's acting like you keep the law. Here, just you search the scriptures, for in them you... No, I'm not talking about you, but this is what Jesus said. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you find principles of eternal life. And that's a righteous thing to do, right? And Jesus said, no, they testify only of me. The law testifies only of a person. It doesn't testify of a behavior. If you want to go it the other way, the law testifies only of what? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And the verb tense there means it never stops. You never take a break. And that means, and again, the word love is a Greek word agapeo, which is a common, ordinary word in Greek. And it just means give importance. Give. You understand? You cannot love two things at the same time. You cannot give importance to two things at the same time. We're not able to.
I think if you think of that in terms of laying your life down, it's like you can't lay your life down. You lay it down, you laid it down. You can't then discriminate.
Well, let's just stay with love a minute. I understand it is love, but I'm just saying that do you think that you... I love my wife, and I love my children, and I love God. No. You can do that from an intellectual construct, but at any given moment, what you're giving importance to is what? That's what you're loving at that nanosecond. Please. Pentecost so totally and completely, organically, if you will, or substantively changed the universe that we can't begin to comprehend it. But I promise you that Pentecost organically, systemically, biologically, spiritually, every way, totally changed you, except you didn't know it because of his humility. And so all this time, he's letting you go through all of the places, pushing all of the things. You know, let's just take Gary's infamous, my thoughts are sweet, my thoughts are sweet, my thoughts are sweet, my thoughts are sweet, my thoughts are sweet.
When you say change from what to what? From flesh to a spirit. What was the exact?
If you could describe it, it couldn't. It wouldn't. There's no words for it.
Can you describe what it was before it was changed?
It's what it. It's it. You. What happened was eternity entered.
Dead and alive, mortal and immortal.
But it. But that's why the best that the human race can be is a sperm cell. And that sperm cell has to enter the egg of the New Jerusalem, the mother of us all, and has to lose its identity in that sperm cell. I mean, in that egg. And that's the mystery.
Yeah, you answered my question, because before that realization of that, you think you have control, you think you're identified, you think you know who you are. But this change entered you into a...
It's a new race.
It has no concept, no models. You can't plan your behaviors.
Let's go to 2 Corinthians 10 a minute. Just... Verse 12. Remember, this is just talked about. We war after the flesh. I mean, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, the pulling down of strongholds, all that. This is just before what I'm going to read. Now to go to verse 12. We dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. Now you could, you know, the whole, and there's many other places that say the same thing. Isaiah 53, we just read, but the idea that you cannot have an idea of what, this is why Paul said, he said, it's a small thing if I am judged by you. For I can't be judged of any man. For I judge not even mine own self. You can't. The only thing you can do is to test to see whether or not you can search the scriptures, not to find out what to do, but to find out whether or not that what has happened meets the standard. But you can't learn anything from reading the scriptures, because the anointing you've received, you have need that no man teach you. You can't. It's simply a matter of letting out this fullness of Christ which has been placed in you on Pentecost. Remember, it's the word adoption is huiothesios. It's the placing of the fullness of the Son. Your warfare is over. Everything is finished. It's simply a matter of you abandoning yourself. But every time that you're seduced by giving breath to anything somebody says or somebody's response, or then you have to go back and say, oh God, I did it again. And then you just leave yourself behind again and you're free again. But to try to meet the standards, you're going to fail. You're going to fail miserably. Then you have to act. That's why all that religion does is make good actors and actresses. And that's all your mind can make of you, is a good actor and actress. Because your mind will always go, because it's hardwired. Your mind, you know, I want you to think and push everything to the edge and take it all away. But don't stop and just that's called concision. Anybody have any other response?
Do mind versus brain tomorrow.
This makes me think about how
we've done that. Remember when we spent about 3 months in that?
Let's just have a summary.
think it's on the website if you can find it.
Ask Michael.
I'll use my brain.
This makes me think about how comfortable it is and how good a time we have when we go to visit the skeptics and the atheists. I talk to people on the phone, people who are believers and who sympathize with us or like what we're doing or whatever, and they start talking about soteriology and are you a Calvinist and are you this and are you that, and I sit there and I listen to them and I go, I'm sorry, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, as long as you're not a Catholic, why would you say that? I mean, it's what the human does is set these tests and these divisions and these tripwires that you have to trip in order to be able to be a member of the club. And it's just as opposed to what we're talking about this morning, about Christ in every man.
Well, the only thing that you have to, you can't just go and make this sloppy agape and, you know, well, God isn't everybody in the gospel. No, it's still the preaching of the cross. It's still the only thing, which is, you show the axe has been laid to the root of the tree. The human race can't be fixed.
It's the only way you can know Christ.
Right. So, you know, it'll just get. You know, you start getting. I mean, I can. You know, I went through and studied all that crap, so I know what it is. But but it just bores me to talk about it. I care whether or not you've seen the cross, where you know the axe has been laid to the root of the tree, where you've come to the end of yourself. But if your spirituality is based on some memorized crap, then it's going to fail you. You've got to be instead of trying to be. And trying to be is so boring. And the older I get, the more I get bored with it. Oh, well, they're just saying that's sweet. No, it's not sweet. It's sickening. Oh, I'm just up here putting on my Sunday best. Put on to your Saturday night worst. Put on the worst. Be the worst you are. But be it publicly. Be it openly. Being whatever you are, be it open. And let the chips fall where they may. Stop the acting. Take a big guy. It was Kevin's fault. What time?